Welcome once again to Landmarks for Living. This is Richard Melson, evangelist at the Needmore Road Church of Christ. This is a radio ministry where every listener is encouraged to not only read but study their Bible daily according to Acts chapter 17 and verse number 11. Friends, God is indeed concerned what you think. Friends, God is indeed concerned what you do. Today is August 16th, 2026. This will be a special broadcast of Landmarks for Living. We will be addressing some hot-button topics. But please check out our website at www.needmoreroadcoc.com. Past broadcasts of Landmarks for Living are archived at our website. Past issues of the Edifier newsletter are available for your download. We would love for you to visit with us on Sundays at 2211 Needmore Road, Bible study 9:30 a.m., worship at 10:30 a.m. and 5 p.m., and we assemble again on Wednesday at 7 p.m. I appreciate everyone who listens to Landmarks for Living each Sunday morning on 98.7 FM, WGNZ AM 1110, and FM 104.3. You may also listen to us by streaming online at thesoulofdayton.com or WGNZ.com. Friends, at the start of this program, the emphasis has not changed. It is to teach only that which is authorized by God in the Bible. If you have a question about anything that is taught during our broadcast, please write to us so that we can supply a Bible answer to your Bible question. You may write to us at Landmarks for Living, care of the Needmore Road Church of Christ, 2211 Needmore Road, Dayton, Ohio, 45414, or email me at dr.rdmelson@nmrcoc.com. Beloved, the Bible is the only approved standard for authority today in all matters of morality, ethics, in religion, according to 2 Timothy 1 and verse 13. Therefore, do not move nor remove the divine landmarks. We dare not step outside the sphere of divine authority and then try to pretend that we are walking by faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Keep this in mind that the way we treat the scriptures, the Bible, God's word, is the way that we treat the Lord. Dayton, are you listening? I hope that you've learned from our earlier studies that the Scriptures are the complete, sufficient, error-free source of truth. As such, Jehovah's issued warnings in both the Old and the New Testament not to add to or to take away from His Word. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2 and Revelation 22 verses 18 and 19. God's Word is all the truth necessary for the genuine spiritual life, and it completely meets all the spiritual needs of mankind. Dayton, are you listening? Our summer series is soon to be wrapped up, but this week we will have visiting with us Isaiah Leninger of Findlay, Ohio, to study Hebrews chapter 12. Our youth rally featuring Gail Nelson will begin on August the 22nd and the 23rd. We would encourage you to come and be with us. And then we will have a mini meeting the 24th and the 25th at 7 p.m. with Gail Nelson of Miami, Florida. As I said in the introduction, we are pleased to have today Mr. Kevin Berry, who lives outside of Lima, Ohio, gospel preacher. And this is, we've been dealing with moral collapse and how the Christian is to respond to the moral collapse that is around us. And so we're going to look at sort of a hot button or hot topic today. And one of the reasons that I've asked Kevin to join us today is because something has come up from his backyard, so to speak. And I want to get Kevin's take on not only the issue that has arisen outside of his backyard, but we're going to look at what the Bible has to say about the family. Kevin, how you doing today?
Good evening, Richard, and I'm doing well. Thank you, sir. Thank you for having me on your program today.
Oh yeah. So, and we're glad. And so this is August the 16th, and it's we're happy to for you to be on with us in our morning broadcast. Kevin, up in your area back at last month, toward the end of the month, there was a number of billboards that were produced and by a Seattle-based company. And let me, you may already have it, you may have already have it up and know what it says. And the board says, "No child has two dads, no child has two moms." And this was produced by a Seattle-based company. And it has stirred up a whole lot of individuals who claim that this is anti, let me just read how they put it here. They claim that these billboards are anti-LBGTQT billboards. And I'm not trying to be funny, but it's just so many letters there that I may have missed one. But they claim that they're, in essence, anti-homosexual messaging, and therefore they need to be taken down and that they send a false message. Well, this is just another attempt of individuals who try to restate what God is the one has already stated. So let's take a look and see, is that message that billboard is presenting, is it in any way harmful to children?
All right, Richard, again, thank you for this. Well, a couple of things that we can just look at. Now, we speak this truth and love. And of course, Richard, not only is this in my backyard, but I actually work on Allentown Road and Elida Road. So, where I work at in my secular job, these billboards are right there visible on the street for my viewing. And so, let me just first state that. Okay, to answer your question, they want to claim that this is anti-LGBTQI plus community. Well, I would say that is anti that community in this sense. That group is anti-biblical when it comes to the institution of marriage. That group does not believe that what the Bible teaches is correct. That group is anti-biblical. Now, I'm just speaking this truth in love. And they are intolerant when it comes to any view that does not reside with what they believe or what they want to believe. And so it is true what they said on their moniker that no child has two dads and no child has two moms. We would call this, Richard, just mere common sense. It's just common sense to say that it is a physical, biological impossibility for two males or for two women to procreate. We know that. But this community wants us to live in a make-believe world. And because we don't want to live in the make-believe world that they live in, that they want to say that if we oppose them and by opposing, see, people have conflated things. Just because you oppose something doesn't mean that you hate them. And Richard, we know we have to oppose things that are sinful because we love the sinner, but we don't love the sin that they are in. But we have to oppose it. But we're not anti that human being. We are anti the sin that they are in. We want to get them out of it. So by telling the truth, and I've just been dumbfounded that now speaking the truth and telling the truth, Richard, somehow now in 2026, but this is not just in 2026, but speaking the truth is now controversial. So them having a view that's not only anti-biblical, but it's anti-nature. Okay.
That's right.
So them having that view is not controversial. It's not controversial, but my just believing the natural biological process and what God, the procreator, has given us, somehow that belief is controversial. But no, Richard, this is not harmful to kids. And I would say to the contrary, what they believe, advocate, and teach, that is what is harmful to children. That is what's harmful to not only children, but to teenagers and to adults.
That's right. And so, you know, this is Landmarks for Living. And we're going and we're looking at, here's what the Bible teaches. So we go right back to the very beginning, Genesis chapter 1, 27 and 28. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. So number one, God created, created one man, one woman. And they were given, as you said, the responsibility to procreate. And only procreation only can occur between a man and a woman. And it, Kevin, you know, children become confused when they're, you know, when they are told, oh, I have, I don't have a mommy and a daddy, but I have two daddies. Mm-hmm. How does that, where does that fit in with Genesis 1, 27, 28? To me, now you're really going to confuse a child, because God did not give to the world Joe and Steve, but he gave Adam and Eve.
Richard, again, so one of their points that they want to make is harming child. And of course, we're going to have to layer that, how they defining harm. Okay. Yes. But okay, but if we define harm as we normally know it, harm means what? It means to do damage. It means to psychologically or emotionally or physically. It means to afflict someone or something that's harmful to their character, harmful to their personality, harmful to them in general. And then for our point of view, harmful for them spiritually. So to your point that you just used, it's confusing to young children for them to be able to introduce as their parents two people of the same gender. That's confusing to them. Whereas when they look at their friends and they see, they have a mom and dad. You know what? But that doesn't need to be explained, because it's natural. We naturally look and see a man and a woman. We naturally can understand that that's how we got here, because of mom and dad, because of the chromosomes that are with female chromosomes with the male. We understand when those two come together biologically, that's how children are produced. It's harmful to have a child being confused, and you are embarrassing them, Richard, by trying to make believe that this is normal to have two women or two men together, and that constitute a family. Richard, let me just say this real quick. God, not culture. God, not government. God, not philosophy. God, not personal preference. God, not the political party, is a designer of marriage, and therefore the family, and therefore the home. And Richard, as we have read the Bible, God has not abdicated that position and has given that up so that we can now determine and we can redefine whom a family is. And Richard, we have to speak this and speak this truth in love, because this is what we are doing to try to get people from being damaged and from being harmed.
Absolutely. God created one man, one woman, and gave them the command to procreate. This is the first principle of the family, marriage, which springs from the choice of one man and one woman united together for a permanent family relation. Now, the ideal of monogamy, of a monogamous relation, is put in the forefront of man's history. And this is what God sets forth in Genesis chapters 1 and 2. And we have to continue to teach this fundamental message that God has given to man. And Kevin, you are absolutely correct when you say that we've allowed the world to whittle away at that message, and over years they have been sowing the seeds of confusion and have been in false and propaganda for us now to say, well, it's okay for two men to be called parents. It's okay for two women to be called parents. And we do not see that anywhere in the scriptures as being authorized by God. God says that kind of thinking is abomination.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just agreeing with you. Yes, sir, absolutely.
Yeah, and so as David pointed out long ago, when the foundations are destroyed, what shall the righteous do? And so we have to, as you pointed out in quoting from the Apostle Paul, we have to be willing to speak the truth in love. We must be willing to tell the world, here is what God's word says mm-hmm. with respect to what a family is, how a family begins, and how a family is maintained, and not allow people who want to promote their abominations to redefine what God has already defined.
Yes, sir.
So let me ask you this then, because I don't want us to spend too much time just on this negative point. How can we, in the midst of all of this, and let me just give you, before I want you to address this question, there's one other crazy example that crossed my desk, dated August the 6th, and this comes out of Spain, the Canary Islands, I'm sorry. And it says that on Sunday, July 26th, which was the feast of Saint Anne, patron saint of Las Palmas de Gran Canaria, the capital of Spain's Canary Islands. On that day, the celebration of this, so this is from the Catholic News. So I'm reading exactly the way they wrote this. On that day, the celebration of the Mother of the Virgin Mary took an unexpected turn, which shocked the faithful. Quote, further it says, at dawn, a small crowd of around 500 gathered in front of the Cathedral of St. Anne. They didn't come to celebrate the feast of the city's patroness. Instead, they made a pagan show promoting the homosexual movement, directed by the American photographer Spencer Tunick. They stripped naked and painted their entire bodies with rainbow colors, forming together the colors of the homosexual pride flag with the cathedral as a backdrop. Now, this is the kind of close quote, and there's more to this story beyond that. But can you imagine where is it normalized for people to become naked and openly promote their promiscuous and immoral lifestyle? Mm. Now, you know, these are the same groups of people who just are saying, Well, for you to say no child has two dads and no child has two moms, that's harmful. And then this is the same group, the group that did this, LGBTQIA plus, they took ownership of it, and they didn't deny that they were doing it and they had a right to do it. You know, this is the kind of world that we are faced with today. And so in light of these kinds of events, how and does the Christian respond, and what should be the Christian response in view of the fact that these kinds of things are not going to slow down, but are going to probably increase?
Yes, we firmly believe that. Bridget, a couple of things come to my mind. Romans chapter 12, particularly verse 2, that we be not conformed to this present worldview or this present world system, but we be continually transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may prove was a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And having said that, we also know we need to be light and we need to be salt that influences. So we know that Satan is the one that's ultimately behind all this. And then there's another movement of man, unfortunately, that has come into this country. I'll just say it ends in an ism, okay? And with that philosophical worldview, what they want to do is confuse you. They want to deconstruct the truth. And by deconstructing the truth, or in this case, redefining like the family, redefining marriage, redefining home, they want you to be so confused or so indoctrinated with this belief system that when you see the truth won't be normal to you anymore, but their deconstructive view is going to be the normalized view that you will now believe, and they are being successful in that. So what we must do as Christians, we must lovingly but firmly keep on calling people to return to the biblical pattern and allow the word of God to find its place in the hearts of men, that it may germinate and bring forth a child of God. What we cannot do is cower. What we cannot do is cave in. What we cannot do is be silent, Richard. In the Churches of Christ, we sing a song, Stand Up for Jesus. Mm-hmm. That's what we must do. And in standing up for Jesus, we realize there's certain people, because they've been indoctrinated to believe so, they're going to misconstrue what we are doing and call it hateful and call it unloving and call it unkind. But nevertheless, we must still march forward, because we got our marching orders from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I like what he said, Jesus speaking in Matthew 19, Richard, right? In verse number 4, when he was brought up about, let's just say, the institution of marriage. And what did Jesus say? Have you not read that he was made them in the beginning? He made them male and he made them female. Okay, so we got to keep on upholding that. The people that are going to do these things, they're openly mocking God, by the way. They're openly mocking God. But we all know, Richard, in the Bible, because we have read and studied the Bible, it's never a good thing to mock God. And for those that don't know, Richard, I'll just give them the short version, Richard. It won't end well. It does not end well. Galatians 6 and 7. So you can keep on, which we hope you will repent, mocking God. But that's why, Richard, we're trying to have programs like this. We're trying to reach out to people so that they can come to repentance. Because despite what society has said, people were not born that way.
That's right. And, you know, you're correct. You know, Kevin, as you talked about, so our listeners, as you're listening, he said, we must strive to be transformed, Romans 12, verse 2. We must work not to be conformed to the world. We must be lights to the world. Because the world is trying to get us, wear us down to the point that we become so desensitized to sin that, well, it doesn't matter. I'm not doing it. But if that's what they want to do, that's okay. And Kevin, when people take this attitude that, well, I'm not going to engage in that behavior, but if that's what they want to do, that's their business. Is that okay biblically?
Well, biblically, no. No, it's not, because I am basically co-signing the behavior, even though I'm saying that I'm not actively doing it, but I am giving consent to that behavior. And that just, biblically speaking, we cannot do that. We have to, even though it's not popular, we have to stand up. Something may be legal, but that doesn't make it biblical.
That's right.
And so we have a lot of things that unfortunately have become legal, but they're not biblical. So I have to, I would be less than a Christian, and I'll be less than a man if I did not speak up, if I did not say something about this and try to get people to come back, or try to get people to come, try to get people to come to Jesus, try to get people to come to the saving grace of the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Right. Again, people unfortunately have believed into this philosophical belief system, and they're not realizing that they are being duped into believing these things. I mean, this is just one aspect of a philosophical worldview. So if they can get you to deconstruct the biblical definition of family and marriage in the home, then they're going to be able to get you to go away from the Bible eventually altogether.
Right. So in the last minute that we have, what Kevin just emphasized was, in the Old Testament, the prophet Jeremiah spoke about the children of Israel, that they had forgotten to blush, and God was upset at them because the sin was so egregious around them, but they were all right with it. And then in the New Testament, Paul makes this clear in Roman, at the end of Romans chapter 1, after he talks about the immorality that was present in the first century. He told those Jews, he said, as he opened up Romans chapter 2, he says, look, you're just as guilty as the Gentiles of Romans chapter 1 who are engaging in these things, even though you're not doing them. You, on the other hand, are not condemning them, but you're saying, you know what, let the Gentiles do that stuff, and we're not going to do it, but if they want to do it, that's their business. Paul said, you're just as guilty. And so the Bible would let us know that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Friends, we're just about out of time. Kevin, we'll have to come back next week and pick up where we left off and talk some more, because I need you to expand some on what you said. But this is Landmarks for Living. I'm Richard Melson, and we are just so thankful that you have taken out time in your Sunday morning to listen to us. And we invite you to come back next week on this radio station, or if you are streaming and listening to us, we would encourage you to come back and listen to us again. Thank you. And Kevin, have a great Lord's Day.
Thank you, Brother Milton. Thank you.